believe that it's time to move on in Sunday school. We have examined plants and animals, and I think we need to just continue going through creation and move on to humans. And so over the next few weeks, we are going to be talking about the creation of mankind. And you might have asked yourself, well, we missed firmament, land. We have a plan for that. Once we get to Noah's Ark, we'll start back and talk about how the land and all that was created. So I don't think that we missed it. I would say that by the end of today, if we were keeping track in our Bible, we would be done with chapter 1 and into chapter 2. That's how we're framing this, because, like I said, we will go back and talk about land and water, like verse 6 in Genesis chapter 1. We'll talk about that when we get to the flood. Earlier this week, I was having lunch with my wife, and she told me something. It was something about one of the kids' schools. And I said, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Who's ever said that? Has anyone ever said that? I'm not the only one. Has everyone heard that term? And then I was like, well, I got a couple hours on my hands. I wonder if that has anything to do with Sunday school. And so, you know, and that, if you've never heard that phrase or that expression, it's the grammatical term is an idiom. If you've never heard of that, and I've heard it most of my life, you know, it means an expression of complete amazement, surprise, or disbelief. That's what it means. And it could also be used to acknowledge the impossibility of a situation. And so I was like, why? Where did it come from? And the major American mindset is that it came from the 1920s and the 1930s during what was known as the Scopes Monkey Trial, where a teacher in Tennessee had to go to court because he wanted to teach evolution, and there's a lot of history around that. But that is not where this expression came from. It's actually, that was in the 1920s, late 20s, early 30s, that trial. It actually predates that trial, that expression does, by about 60 years, from what I can tell. The first documented time that phrase was recorded was in the 19th century, so in the 1800s. Now, in the 1800s, Charles Darwin published two books. The first book he published was On the Origin of Species. He published that in 1859. And the second book he published was called The Descent of Man, and that was in 1871. And in both of those books, Darwin, he shared his speculation of evolution and how he thought that man came from monkeys. In both of those books, he had a passage about that. And that phrase, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle, actually is credited to this. Let me just read the origin of that saying. It says, strange but true, this bizarre saying was first uttered by a sarcastic little man who was the editor of a publishing house in the 1800s. Upon having read Darwin's first draft of The Descent of Man, in which Darwin proposed his theory of evolution, which was that man was related to monkeys, the editor shook with outrage and laughed and snorted, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Even the editor who read that was like, this is silly. But they printed it because that's what they do. But I don't want anyone to think that we're outnumbered or we have this impossible task in front of us to believe God and believe the Bible. Not so at all. Again, what we talked about last week with the Darwinian trap and culture taking something true and linking it with something that's not true and then shouting down the truth and changing. And so we get scared to talk about what's true. That's what happens. But even the editor saw the fallacy of the fact that we came from monkeys. And that is an appropriate response. I'll be a monkey's uncle. I mean, that is just the impossibility of that claim. That I'm Kelvin and Malcolm's uncle, but I'm not A monkey's uncle. So that brings us to the question today, what allows us, Christians, Bible-believing Christians, to say that mankind is absolutely distinct from the animals that God created? What allows us to say that? How are we different? Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We'll read starting in verse number 26. And let's start. Now, this is just going to be an introduction to, again, the creation of mankind. I believe we'll spend maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks on mankind. But let's start reading in verse number 26. The header of my Bible says, "The creation of man. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, let me just kind of give you some help here as you do your Bible reading and you're studying this. Again, I mentioned earlier we're going to be done with chapter 1. We move into chapter 2. As you read chapter 2, if you're paying attention, you'll notice some things that are different. You'll notice the sequence of creation is different. And you'll be like, wait a minute. They're talking about God created this and then God created that. Listen, chapter 2 is to be read as a parenthesis, a more in-depth account of what we read in chapter 1. There are people out there that are confusing people all over Christianity saying, well, there were two creations. There was the chapter 1 creation, which is the spiritual creation. And then there was the chapter 2 creation, which is the... No. There was the six-day account written in chapter 1, and chapter 2 emphasizes and redirects attention to chapter 2, or to the events of chapter 1. And the key to chapter 2 is verse number 17. The whole reason chapter 2 is there is for verse number 17. The whole reason that he lays it out the way, and if you don't know what verse 17 chapter 2 says, it says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of, for thou in that day thou shalt there, thou eat, thou shalt surely die." The whole reason why chapter 2 exists is to prove, it's not to reemphasize the sequence, because again, the sequence of creation in this in chapter 2 is different, because that's not the point of chapter 2. But he talks more in depth about creation of man, and he talks more in depth about the garden, and he talks more in depth about how God created these things for the reason of verse number 17. So we'll get to that in a minute, but I just want you to understand that when you're doing your Bible reading, you're studying creation, because there's a lot of misunderstanding out there that's just scary, just absolutely scary. But the Bible makes a clear distinction. Keep your place there if you want in Genesis, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to see this. The Bible makes it clear. Again, the question today, what allows us to say that mankind is different from animals? Well, number one, they were created on different days. We could read that in Genesis chapter 1. If they're created on different days, that means they're different. We were created on the sixth day. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love this. 1 Corinthians, and I understand the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It would be the resurrection chapter, if you will. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number 39. I mean, this clears it up. Listen, for you to understand and you to believe the biblical account of creation, think about how, this is our seventh week on this. Early on, we said that you must believe God and you must believe His Word. Did you know there's people out there that say, I believe God and I believe His Word, and then they argue about creation and they say, well, there's this gap, or well, no, you must believe God and you must believe His Word. That's why we spent the first 3 weeks talking about that. We get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Class is over. Are men different than animals? Well, yeah, they were created on different days, and in the New Testament it says that all flesh is different. We're different from animals. We don't need anything else. Now, it just so happens there's a lot of other things. And I just kind of was going through just a list of things I was thinking about. I've got a cat. Everyone knows that. I was looking at my cat. And I'm like, well, what makes me different than my cat? And a lot of things, flexibility, one of them. But we're not going to talk about that. But a lot of things, man is different than animals. And I just came up with some things and found some things. Number one, analytical thought. Now, yes, animals could be like, I'm on this side of the gate and food's on that side of the gate, and so I just need to go through the gate. They do possess some sort of thought process, but man can think analytically in a way that can't even be compared to the animal kingdom. Man can analyze problems and come up with creative solutions. He's able to reason and philosophize about life. Cats don't do that. Animals don't have this philosophical ability. They don't just go, man, what a beautiful sunset. They can't do that. Animals don't do that. The reasoning powers in animals are very, very limited. That's the first thing. Number two, true language. Now think about this. Only man possesses true language and conceptual thought. You know, we can communicate with abstract symbols called the alphabet. Animals can't do that. There's no example of animals doing that. The Bible says that one of the first responsibilities given to Adam, if you go to Genesis chapter 2, and if you looked down in verses number 19 through 23, we don't have to read those, but if you look down in verses 19 through 23, one of the first jobs given to Adam by God was to name the animals. Animals have no capacity to do that. Absolutely not. We're different than them. You know another thing animals can't do that we can do? Record history. They can't record history. There's no evidence in the world where they can determine history or record. Well, the elephant. Oh, shut up. Okay. He knows where things happened, but he can't record it. Let me just say this, by the way. We were created on different days. Be very careful with those Christians who take observations from the animal world and justify human behavior. Yeah. I know people to do that. I know people. They'll do that. They'll be like, well, these animals don't mate for life. Okay, well, they're animals. Well, these animals have homophobic tendencies. They're animals. They're animals. We're humans. We're specially, uniquely created beings. Do not observe the animal kingdom and apply it to our behavior. And we'll talk about the harms of that in a minute. But as we can record history from the beginning of time, man has recorded the deeds of the benefits for future for the benefits of future generations. There is no example of any animal recording their deeds for posterity ever. There's no example of that. None. We're not alike. We're not the same. Another thing, economics. Did you know man is an economic being? We can make transactions, we can make complex transactions, and we can complete business to administer goods and services that are under our control. We read today in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, that God said that we are to take control of the earth and subdue it. Animals do not transact business between each other. They don't. They do not transact business. You might look at a behavior in an animal and say, oh, look, he gave some acorns for this. No. That's not what they're thinking. That's not what they're thinking. Animals are different than human. Another thing, art. Man is an aesthetic being. We are capable of perceiving and appreciating beauty. You know, sometimes we'll create something and then be like, well, what do you do with it? I just look at it. It's beautiful. There's no evidence in the animal kingdom that that's ever done. Anything an animal does is for a purpose. Where mankind can create something and say, look at this. It's gorgeous. We can do that. They can't. That's a special thing. You know, another thing, morality. Man is ethical. You know, man can distinguish between right and wrong. He can and does make moral judgment. Man has a conscience. Your dog or cat does not. You know, only man could hear these words from God. God spoke to man and said things that were good and things were evil, and then man was accountable. If God thought animals were capable of doing that, he would have charged the animal kingdom with that same ability to understand good and evil. But they don't. It's only man that can do that. Animals do not create. Animals do not have a sense of justice or ethical orientation. God could fairly, God can be fair and could fairly punish man for his willful disobedience in the Garden of Eden. He could not do that to animals because animals do not have that ability. Again, we're going to spend a couple weeks on this, so I want you to understand this. Only man can express faith and worship. Animals can't do that. Man alone, of all the earthly creatures, can worship the Creator. There could be faithful pets, absolutely, but that's not what we mean. They're not recognizing who their Creator is. They're not faithful to a Creator. Only man can do that. And man also is the only living creature that can bury their dead. I mean, if we came from animals, don't you think there'd be examples in the animal kingdom where they ceremonially bury their dead? And then there's going to be that Christian, well, I saw on National Geographic this one snake buried. You know why he did that? So it wouldn't attract other predators. We bury our dead for a ceremonial reason. There is no example in the animal kingdom where someone, another animal, buries their dead. We are distinct from animals. I hope you understand that. Do not fall for the trap, where again, where you observe the animal kingdom and a behavior in the animal kingdom and apply it to mankind. It is absolutely the wrong thing to do. And that's just a short list between me and my cat in my living room. But there's creativity, invention, imagination, abstract reasoning, love, a will, a conscience. There's the list goes on and on of things that are different between you and the animal kingdom. The list goes on and on. Human life is different. And it is important to note the significant differences between humans and other life forms. Not only are humans different from plants, well, you don't see that argument very much. I mean, if a mud puddle became a plant that turned into a turkey, that turned into a dinosaur, that turned into a monkey, that turned into a human according to their reason, if that happened, why don't they ever say, well, look at the plant kingdom. They don't ever do that. They always compare us to animals. If we all came from the same kind in Darwinian evolution, why don't they say, look at what happens to the plants and say, that's why humans do what they do? No one does that. We are distinctly different from plants. We are distinctly different from animals. Also, you notice they don't do that with fish. You know why? They can't see them. They're in the water. So the people that think that we came from fish, or you know, they never compare that. They always just say monkeys. That's all they ever say. That's all they ever say. But we're distinctly different. Only humans, according to the Word of God, are made in God's image. And only humans possess this will and this self-conscience to distinguish us so sharply from even the most advanced and intelligent animals. We are light years different from the most intelligent animals that exist, whether they're dolphins or monkeys or pigs, whatever the most intelligent animal is. That means nothing. They can't Google anything. They can't. Even Fred can Google. We're so different than the animal kingdom. This is a big... Now, you're like, I've never... It's out there. The comparison between animals and humans is rampant. And from the Bible, as well as from observing animals and humans, it can be seen that there are vast differences. You know, the Bible says that man has been made in the image of God. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 1. Go to in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, but also look at Genesis chapter 5. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Again, on the sixth day, God created man. He made him in the likeness. He created them male and female. In Genesis chapter 5, look at verses 1 and 2. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. So again, God made man in his image. So what does that mean that man was created in God's image? You know, to say that man was made in the image of God means that God and man have many things in common. There are many things that we have in common. And I want you to understand those. You know, when God created man, he gave mankind such things as personality and choice, like we looked at in Romans last week, emotions and morality and creativity. Let's talk about that for a second. Both man and God have personality. Do you understand that? That is to say that we can both think and communicate as rational beings. You know what a blessing that is? And of course, yes, you'll see your pets and you'll be like, well, this one pet is always rambunctious and this other pet is always not. Each one of our pets has a personality. No. They weren't created in the image of God. You're taking what you know. This is just like Romans chapter 1. You're taking what you know that's familiar to you and you're applying it to things that you see. They're hungry. And they can't control themselves. That's why they're pets. Okay? God made us in His image and we have a personality because God has a personality. We each have personal identity that is separate from other rational beings and other non-living things. You know, another thing that God did that we have in common is choice. Both God and man are beings that have the ability to choose. And Preacher preached about this last week. God does not, I want you to understand this, God does not have the ability to choose evil because God is holy. And we could talk about that. Man, we have the ability to choose. And we can choose good or we can choose evil. God is a God who can choose things. He can't choose evil. I want you to understand that. Neither God nor man is programmed or forced to make any choices. That's not how it works. You know, we like this. As humans and as Americans, we like this linear thinking. If I do this, then this happens, and then I do this, and this happens. You know, that's not how it works. You know, you don't just sin and you just sit around waiting for the consequences to fall and then you're like, oh, got away with it. That's what you want. But that's not what happens. That's why religion is such a thing, because people are like, if I just do this, 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 and this, I'm good. You know, we're not linear beings. You know, God did not create us to be linear where this has to happen and then this has to happen. That's not how it works. God is everywhere and everything, and that's not how He works. But what He's done is He's given us choices. This is freedom from God. He's given us this freedom given to man by God. And get this, man is responsible for the choices he makes. Man is responsible. You can make the choice to not believe in God. You can make the choice to believe in God. You're responsible for that choice. And God is free to choose things. And just like God, we have that common trait. You know, both man and God have emotions. For example, each can give love and each can receive love. God, as well as humans, can be angry. Both man and God have the capacity to feel and to express emotions. That's where our emotions come from. Emotions aren't bad. God, you can read it all through the Bible. God has emotions. God has given you emotions because you are made in His image. Now, how those emotions control you or what you do with those emotions, that can be bad. Because God's given you choice. But emotions themselves aren't bad. That's why we snort when we laugh. Every time you snort when you laugh, go, I'm made in the image of God. Because I have emotions. That's a wonderful thing. Man and God both have a moral sense of right and wrong. Do you understand that? Do you know God knows what's right and wrong? God knows what's right and wrong. He's given us that trait because we're created in His image. Where we do know right and wrong. Another attribute that God and man have in common is creativity. Obviously, the Bible says that God created the universe and everything within it. And man also is a creative being. We're very creative. We're creative in ways to get out of sin, to get into sin. We're creative in ways with artistic ways. We're creative with our music. I mean, we are creative. And that is because we are created in the image of God. Man is different from animals. Both, again, biblical and scientific evidence demonstrate this. Man alone has the capacity, and I've already said this, but man alone has the capacity to worship God. Yeah, amen. I mean, you can teach a bird to say a lot of funny things. That bird could even sing Amazing Grace. But that bird's not worshiping God. You know why? It's heart. It's heart. A parrot can sing Amazing Grace. There's some people in here that can sing Amazing Grace with the wrong heart. But man has the ability to worship God, and these animals do not. We are the crowning achievement in creation. And I want you to understand that. We are the last to be created, but we are the first on His mind. We are the last to be created, but we are the most important thing that he created. We are different than animals. Nothing else is described as being created in God's image. Do you understand that? No, in fact, the Ten Commandments say that you can't create anything in the image of God. You know why? Because God's already created you in the image of God. You can't create any more images. We are very unique. And we are very special. This is, again, one more strike against evolution to say that we are created in the image of God. Mankind is not just a highly evolved animal. We're not the pinnacle of evolution. We're not that. And we've looked at the science of natural selection and the loss of DNA. We should understand that pretty fairly by now. But evolutionists say that we're just highly evolved animals. No, we're not that. We're a unique creation of God. Amen. We are the crowning act. And this gives all humans value when you see things the way the Bible sees things. Knowing that we're uniquely created from God gives us value. We were created on purpose, on a specific day. We're just not the result of something that he created on an earlier day, and we're just what happened. That's not how God worked. God took a specific day, male and female, created he them on day six. We're the crowning act of his creative work. Again, we have all value because we're created. So let's think about this then, because I kind of alluded to this. What moral problems then is often the result of telling people they are nothing more than highly evolved animals? What happens when you do that? What happens when you start telling people that they're animals? Well, there's no more value in a human life. You know, if you're the same as a monkey's life or a rabbit's life, then the value of a monkey's life and the value of a rabbit's life is equal to you. Now imagine how you feel as a young person trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing, and you're being taught that you are just evolved from something that's been in the woods and has no value and has no meaning, and that's also you. Imagine the generation that's come, my generation and below. Now listen, this is you're told you have no value. You're told that you come from animals and you're just highly evolved. You're not special or unique. And then there's a purple dinosaur on TV that tells you that what you feel is special. That's what they were told. They would watch TV and this purple dinosaur would say, "I love you, and what you're feeling is special, but you have no value. But what you feel is special." Well, I feel like a boy, and I feel like a girl, and I feel like this, and sometimes I feel fluid, and so, but you know, I don't have any value, but the purple dinosaur said I'm special. Do you see where we get at today? Do you see what our society is dealing with? It's not that we came from animals. We are uniquely created. You know, often evolutionists look at the natural world again, and they justify immoral acts, especially in the sexual nature. That is where all this is coming from. Well, a duck doesn't know its gender until 6 months old, so it must be like us. That is true for a duck. If you've ever raised ducks, they are genderless. Good for them. We're humans. Do not apply that to mankind. It's dangerous. Can we learn observations from the animal? Absolutely. Every farmer knows that. You can totally learn observations. That's science, to observe where observations are at, right? But to apply a behavior and justify human behavior is simply not biblical. We're days away from them. We're day six. We're day six special, uniquely creations. So just because they do it doesn't make it right. But sadly, much of the Western world has adopted this evolutionary view, and human life is not valued above animals. Abortion, slavery, genocide, racism, segregation, they're all manifestations of man's sinfulness based on evolutionary ideas of humanity. Every one of those things, every one of those sins has come from an observation of the animal kingdom, and they say, well, it's good enough for them since we're just more evolved than they are. That's not so. That's not how it's supposed to be. These actions have been justified over the last 150 years and supported by the writings of men like Charles Darwin. Not the Bible. Not the Word of God at all. You won't find the Bible supporting any of those actions or any of those behaviors, but yet you can observe them in the animal kingdom. It's absolutely crazy. If people are just highly evolved apes, then why should we think there's anything specific about our moral code that we should follow? Right? If we're just highly evolved animals, there is no creator, there is no right or wrong, there is no moral code. It's easy to dismiss that. We are uniquely created by a God in heaven who set aside a special day, day six, to create mankind, the pinnacle of his creation, to create us for fellowship. He wanted to receive glory. We have a purpose. We have value. We have a moral code because we're made in his image. Where we're at today as a society, I mean, you can totally pinpoint it. You can totally see. You can totally walk into a Walmart or walk in anywhere and say, I know exactly what they think about creation just by how they look, just how they treat their bodies. They do not understand that they were uniquely created by a God in heaven. Are we judging? No, we're observing. We're all Christian scientists. That's scary. We're uniquely created. You know, understanding the value of each person and who is made by God in God's image must be an important point of discussion as we engage other people. You know, telling someone that they are valued by God. We have the highest suicide rate among young people in like the last 20, 30 years. Are they forgetting that they have value? Did they know they have value? Not at all. Not at all. Absolutely not. And when we engage other people over issues like abortion and euthanasia and immigration and all these other areas, to tell them that they have value and to share with people that we believe that human life is valuable. Why do you believe that? Because we are created by God. That is our default stance. Human life has value. It's not wrong, because I will fight for you to be wrong. I will fight for your opportunity to be wrong. But at the same time, you have value. And I want to tell you that. Man as an animal does not line up with Scripture. It's not biblical. I am not a monkey's uncle. I am not a monkey's uncle. And over the next few Sunday school times, we're going to continue to explore this biblical fact that we have value, that we are made in the image of God, we are uniquely created, we are special. So that's where we're headed. I think we've exhausted animals. I think we understand animals. I think we understand the flaws of evolution. We need to make a distinct separation between the animal kingdom and us. God has given us the atmosphere and the skies and the animal kingdom to make observations, sure. But not to make explanation for human behavior. Not at all. Mr. Ray for Big People Church. The Stokes trial is-